following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening. This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs. Will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Song that I play all too often. I remember first playing it not too long after the Columbine shooting in Colorado many, many years ago. And with Sunday's shooting in Texas, Columbine is no longer one of the 10 worst mass shootings in U.S. history. Yeah, think about that. Three of the top five are all in the last year and a half, by the way. 26 people killed, another at least 20 injured in this shooting in a church in a small town in Texas on Sunday. You know, hi, welcome to the show. It was my birthday on Saturday, and on Sunday, my daughter and I went to the beach. I'm sorry to everyone who who is not in Florida or places where you can still go to the beach on November 5th. But we did. We went to the beach on Sunday and we had a very nice day. And I got home, took a shower, and I came out and Allison said to me, "So did you hear about what happened in Texas?" I'm like, "What happened in Texas?" Another shooting. So I turned on the TV and saw 26 people dead. I don't know what's wrong with us. I do know what's wrong with us. The NRA, The NRA and the other group that's even worse than the NRA is it's like Gun Owners of America or something, the Larry Pratt's group. These people, you know, the politicians need to realize that they do not represent a majority of Americans. And USA Today's opinion page today, they've got some stats. Public support for gun proposals. Prevent the mentally ill from buying guns, 89%. Meanwhile, that's one of the first things that Trump did when he got into office was change that rule that allows mentally ill to access to buy guns. And yet, you know, what did he say today? Or what did he say yesterday? Here it is.
And I think that mental health is your problem here. This was based on preliminary reports, very deranged individual, a lot of problems over a long period of time. We have a lot of mental health problems
we
in
do.
Our country, as do other countries.
They do, but they don't have this problem.
Guns situation. I mean, we could go into it, but it's a little bit soon to go into it.
No, it isn't.
Fortunately, somebody else had a gun that was shooting in the opposite direction. Otherwise, it would have been as bad as it was. It would have been much worse.
How can he say? I don't know how he can say that. He doesn't know that. First of all, he does not know that yet. This man always talks out of his ass and says things that he doesn't really know. What I do know is 89%, according to a Pew Research Center survey just taken this spring, so spring 2017, so this is new data, 89% favor preventing the mentally ill from buying guns. 84% are in favor of background checks for private sales and at gun shows. 71% of Americans want to create a federal database to track gun sales. 68% would like to see a ban on assault-style weapons, which is what this shooter used. And 65% would like to see a ban on high-capacity magazines, which he allegedly also used. He fired something like 450 rounds of bullets inside that little church. It's a wonder that anybody made it out of there alive. And there's a great op-ed in USA Today. Maybe I'll share it with you. And in the Washington Post, Greg Sargent also has a great piece debunking that clip that I just played. He said, you know, it's folly to debate the broader gun issue, the gun violence epidemic in the context of mass shootings. That's true. It's not too soon to talk about it, but, you know, there are shootings every day. I just heard on Tom Hartman's show, there was a shooting in Portland today where one person was killed. We don't even take notice of that. I saw something on Twitter a little while ago that there was another shooting at University of South Carolina, I think. And there's a massive manhunt for the shooter who has an assault style weapon. That's all I heard about it. So apparently too many people weren't shot yet. Maybe somebody only saw somebody with a gun. And that's all we know so far, because unless there are a number of people killed, we don't even take notice anymore because it's so commonplace here in the U.S. I'll go again to a piece I wrote a few years ago after one of these shootings. And I really think that other governments should issue travel advisories against coming to the United States because it's simply not safe. To walk down any street USA, you take your life in your hands because you never know when some crazy person with a gun is going to come out of the shadows and start shooting for any reason or no reason at all. This guy in Texas on Sunday apparently had an issue with his mother-in-law. His mother-in-law, his ex-mother-in-law, who knows? The fact of the matter is he shouldn't have had a gun in the first place. And if the Air Force had done its job correctly, then maybe the background check system would have worked in this case. What Greg Sargent writes is, the broader policy question here is whether our gun background check system needs improving. What we have learned thus far from this particular shooting is only that there was a system failure that needs to be addressed. And that, because of it, this man, capable of slaughtering more than 24 people in the act of worship, children included, was able to obtain guns. If there's any narrow lesson to be drawn, it's that when there are holes in the system, it enables people who are barred from buying guns to easily obtain them anyway. In a broad sense, Greg Sargent continues, this is the type of problem that those who want to reform our background check system want to address. They want to expand background checks to cover not just sales by federally licensed firearms dealers, but also certain types of private sales that create another channel through which people end up unlawfully possessing a gun. They also want to fix the flaws that impede states' transmission of data about domestic abusers to the federal background check database, which is a problem that resembles the one we saw here. Trump told us that his thinly veiled Muslim ban was necessary so that we could review our vetting procedures and see where they need to be improved. Applying his own logic to the gun debate should lead to a similar place. If our current system of background checks is inadequate, we should review it to see whether it needs to be improved too. Yes, we should. But he comes up with excuses. He was asked in Japan, of all places, about whether or not, here's the question and answer.
You've talked about wanting to put extreme vetting on people trying to come into the United States, but I wonder if you would consider extreme vetting for people trying to buy a gun.
Trying to what?
Buy a gun.
Well, you know, you're bringing up a situation that probably shouldn't be discussed too much right now.
We
can let a little time go by, but it's okay if you feel that that's an appropriate question, even though we're the heart of South Korea. I will certainly answer your question. If you did what you're suggesting...
He was in Japan, by the way, not South Korea.
There would
Korea.
Have been no difference 3 days ago. And you might not have had that very brave person who happened to have a gun or a rifle in his truck go out and shoot him and hit him and neutralize him.
He does not know that.
And I can only say this. If he didn't have a gun, instead of having 26 dead... You would have had hundreds more dead. So that's the way I feel about it.
And are you
not
going
to help?
And are you considering any kind of gun control policy going forward?
And you look at
the
city with the strongest gun laws in our nation is Chicago. Mm-hmm. And Chicago is a disaster.
Doesn't matter.
It's a total disaster.
They can get
Just
guns
remember,
in Indiana.
If this man didn't have a gun or a rifle, you'd be talking about a much worse situation.
You don't know
that. In
the
great state of Texas. Thank you.
You don't know that. So back to Greg Sargent. He writes, Trump, of course, does not believe that the gun background check system should be improved. He's entitled to that view. But the notion that this shooting shows that improving the system wouldn't make any difference is utter nonsense. What it really shows is that Trump views the flaws he sees in our system of vetting new arrivals as a threat worth addressing, but doesn't view the flaws in our gun background check system as a threat worth addressing. My point, writes Greg Sargent, is not that the Texas shooting itself makes the case for any particular set of background check improvements. It doesn't. And again, seizing on isolated events isn't how we should be debating policy. The Air Force's review of its mistakes here is an appropriate response to this particular horror. Rather, he writes, my point is this. Either you believe, in a broad sense, that we should be trying to improve our background check system to make it harder for prohibited people to get guns, or you don't. Trump's silly misdirection tells us that he does not believe this, and that he probably hasn't thought seriously about the question for even a second. And that's the truth of the matter. You know he hasn't. He's listening to whatever he gets, whatever talking points he gets from the NRA, and that's it. He doesn't think about this at all. I think he used to be for background checks. He used to be for gun control. Hell, he used to be for universal health care, too, until he got infected with the Fox disease. You know, a year or two or three ago, I had the director, the producer, director, filmmaker of a movie called The Brainwashing of My Father. I think it was what it was called. Her name was Jen, I want to say Sanko. Or something close to that, who made this movie about her father, who used to be a reasonable man until he started, you know, he got older and he started watching Fox and he got addicted to it and it brainwashed her father. And he turned into this right-wing crazy person. That's what happened to Donald Trump. It happens to a lot of old people. They'd be better off without the cable, you know? I'm just going to read a couple of paragraphs to you from this USA Today op-ed, the headline reads, "Our view, enough is enough. Stop the insanity about guns." It wraps up by saying, "After each bloodbath, sensible people propose sensible measures, universal background checks to replace a system with loopholes, bans on assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. Hopes for change are raised. Then the gun lobby pounces. Cowardly members of Congress fold, and the violent cycle continues." In one sense, Trump is right that, quote, "this is a mental health problem at the highest level. For the nation's top leaders to watch innocent people mowed down and refuse to do anything to stop it is indeed absolutely crazy." And yet here we are. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. If killing 20 innocent 6- and 7-year-olds in Newtown and 6 others along with them didn't make our elected officials act, nothing will. Not even families, 3 generations of one family, an 18-month-old baby, a 77-year-old man, people in a church. You know, you had Paul Ryan saying, you know, prayers are what are needed right now. No, those people were praying. Prayers were not what they needed. Yet thoughts and prayers are what we get from our elected officials. It's not enough. We need laws. We need, if they had never brought, you know, let the assault weapons ban expire, you know, when it was in place, it was only in place for 10 years. If they had just renewed it in perpetuity, we'd be in a lot better place. And the few that were out there would be, would go away through attrition. They'd eventually be gone. And then, you know, we wouldn't be in this position today. But now there are millions. Here's one more statistic I'll give you, then we'll take a break. Gun homicides per 1 million people. Australia, who was home to a mass shooting in 1996, the Port Arthur Massacre, it was called. And after that, the government did something, and they did a gun buyback system program where they bought back as many guns as they could. And since then, there hasn't been another mass shooting. Yeah, there have been random shootings here and there, but nothing like this, nothing like we get. So gun homicides per 1 million people. This is from 2012 in Australia, 1.4. 1.4 gun homicides per 1 million people. In Germany, it's 1.9. Sweden, 4.1. Canada, getting up there, it must be the proximity to us, 5.1 gun homicides per 1 million people. Think about it, knowing that that's Canada. What do you think it is in the United States? I'll give you a few seconds. You can hum the Jeopardy theme to yourself. data from the United Nations, again, in 2012, 29.7 gun homicides per 1 million people in the United States. Something's got to be done, because I, for one, refuse to accept it as the new normal. But there's not a whole lot I can do except rail against it and play Cheryl Wheeler's If It Were Up to Me every time I hear about another shooting like this. Call Me Trip in the chat room says, "Assault weapons are not the issue. Guns are the issue. Sikh temple killed 6 and injured 4. Dude had a single gun that only held 11 rounds. Wow. Mother Emmanuel, AME Methodist. Dude had 1 Glock. He killed 9. I agree. Just the assault weapons make it easier to kill more people in less time. I believe guns are the issue. I really do. You have to have a license and pass a test in order to, you know, drive a car and to do most things in this world, not only in this country. And guns, boy, pretty much in most states, anyone can just walk into a store and buy one. This guy should not have been able to get a gun. If all the components were working the way they should have, maybe he wouldn't have been able to get that gun or the 3 others he had. He did have 3 handguns from the report I read. I don't know. I guess he only took this one with the extended magazines into the church with him. Either way, I'm sure we'll have some tweets on the subject. It's Tuesday, so Gotta Laugh is with us today. We'll take a quick break. We'll check in with what's news and come back with Gotta Laugh next.
I read the news today, oh boy. It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The gunman who killed 26 people at a Sutherland Springs, Texas church had a history of domestic violence and sent threatening text messages to his mother-in-law, a member of that church, before the attack in which he fired at least 450 rounds at helpless worshipers. On Monday, the military acknowledged it didn't submit the shooter's criminal history to the FBI as required by the Pentagon. If his past offenses had been shared, they would have prevented him from buying a gun. Stephen Colbert shared his thoughts Monday night.
Now, I don't know what to do, but I know that hopelessness is not the answer.
No.
You cannot give up in the face of evil. Nothing gets done about what happened in Las Vegas. They can't even pass a restriction on bump stocks that turn a semi-automatic weapon into almost a fully automatic weapon. That died. No one's talking about that.
Right.
Nothing gets done to control the guns that kill 10,000 people a year around America, not just in these mass killings. And doing nothing, as I have said before, is unacceptable. But it's unnatural. It's inhuman.
Right.
It just goes against our nature. We want to fix things. You want to respond to something terrible like this. Not just now, but at any time in human history. 5,000 years ago, if your village had a tiger coming into it every day and was eating people, you wouldn't do nothing. You would move the village, you would build a fence, or you would kill the tiger. You wouldn't say, well, I guess, you know, someone's going to get eaten every day because the price of liberty is tigers.
No.
You take some action. Now, this hopelessness, this powerlessness you feel when nothing gets done is something, as I said, we can't give into. Because I actually think that there are some people out there, some truly evil people out there, who want you to feel powerless just for a buck. Because if you feel powerless enough, you know what might make you feel more powerful? Going to buy a gun. It's a vicious cycle. Violence happens, nothing gets done to get rid of the guns, and people buy more guns to protect themselves, and now there're just more guns out on the street. And yes, this guy wasn't supposed to be able to buy a gun, but he could because they're on the market, these semi-automatic rifles. So what do you do? If you're not going to be hopeless, but you feel powerless, how do you get the power back? Well, I think there is one power you mustn't ever forget, and that is you can vote. You can go vote in 2018. Vote for someone who will do something. Because this is an act of evil, and the only thing necessary for evil to succeed is for good men to do nothing.
Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton claimed the solution is to have more churchgoers carrying guns.
Keep guns out of the hand of people who are going to violate the law. If somebody's willing to kill someone, they're also going to be willing to violate a gun law. And all I can say is that, you know, in Texas, at least we have the opportunity to have concealed carry. And so if it's a place where somebody has the ability to carry, there's always the opportunity that gunman will be taken out before he has the opportunity to kill very many people.
And you would think, the concept of a firearm and a church, that we've come to that. I mean, in Arkansas, there's the Church Protection Act, where they're legally allowed to do that, apparently. It just are two... potentially diametric opposite concepts when you're there praying to the Lord.
Well, there's no doubt. I think that's why so many people don't carry in a church, whereas if this had been somewhere else, you might have seen somebody being able to react. But I think as we see, I mean, we've had shootings at churches for, you know, for forever. This is going to happen again. And so, you know, we need people in churches, either, you know, professional security or at least arming some of the parishioners or the congregation so that they can respond.
The president was in Japan when he addressed the shooting, claiming it was not a, quote, guns situation.
And I think that mental health is your problem here. This was a very, based on preliminary reports, very deranged individual, a lot of problems over a long period of time. We have a lot of mental health problems in our country, as do other countries. But this isn't a guns situation. I mean, we could go into it, but it's a little bit soon to go into it. But fortunately, somebody else had a gun that was shooting in the opposite direction. Otherwise, it would have been as bad as it was. It would have been much worse. But this is a mental health problem at the highest level. It's a very, very sad event. These are great people and a very, very sad event. But that's the way I view it.
While in Japan, the president played golf with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe and repeatedly stuck his foot in his mouth, telling U.S. troops there,
"No regime and no nation should underestimate ever American resolve. Every once in a while in the past, they underestimated us. It was not pleasant for them, was it?"
And admitting his lack of knowledge about the world.
So my relationship with Shinzo got off to quite a rocky start because I never ran for office, and here I am, but I never ran. So I wasn't very experienced. And after I had won, everybody was calling me from all over the world. I never knew we had so many countries. I got
And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider a contribution. My work is 100% listener funded, and I can't do it without you. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
You're listening to the Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Yes, every Tuesday we get together with our pal Gotta Laugh and talk about what's going on in the news. We check out her tweet spot. You know, we try to lighten things up a little bit. So, hello.
Yes, you reached the another day, another mass shooting hotline.
Figures.
Mm-hmm. Press 1 if you think people on TV referring to a mass shooter as a gentleman probably also refer to Trump as a genius.
Sadly, yes.
Pet peeve. Press 2 if you think Trump is at least as mentally ill as all those white guys with who mow down crowds with guns, and he's president.
Yeah.
Press 3 if you think, to paraphrase, guns don't kill people. Republican Congress members who refuse to take action do. Have a nice day. Yeah, really.
I'm stuck on the 3. My 3 is stuck. My 3 is stuck. Yes.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I heard that about you, that your 3 is stuck.
Yeah. What a sad, you know, sad day. I mean, I come back after a weekend. And because Tuesday is my Monday, and lots of nice happy birthday messages in the chat room because my birthday was Saturday. Boy, what a way to, you know, really screw up a weekend.
Yeah, kind of puts a damper on things. It's just horrible.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, well, you know, it's just the same old ritual. It's the, you know, everybody says the same things. Everybody shakes their head and looks sad. Everybody says thoughts and prayers. Everybody does exactly the same. I mean, you could take video clips from any mass shooting, put them up, and nobody would know the difference.
Yep. You have the correspondents on CNN and MSNBC go to the site. They're there for at least a day. Now, you know, there's I guess, shooter fatigue or shooting fatigue, because with Vegas, they were out there for days. This time it was a day. You know, because it was important. I mean, 26 people. But again, this was just a small town in Texas. It wasn't Las Vegas. I mean, you see how how fatigue sets in.
I wonder if it was that, or if it's because it was Las Vegas and it's a flashier, sexier story.
I'm sure that's a big part of it too.
And they're still talking about it. I mean, yesterday was day 2. Day 2?
Yep.
And they were still devoting a good 75% of their TV coverage to just the shooting. And today there's, I'd say, a good, I don't know, 35% maybe.
Right.
It goes on too long, because just interviewing people about how sad they are does absolutely nothing. You know, they ought to have some intelligent discussion, really intelligent discussion, like you were just reading from, I think it was Greg Sargent, where you have thoughtful people say thoughtful things with thoughtful solutions, and don't have some idiot from the far right, somebody who's a member of the NRA and is, you know, bringing their gun on air, to yell at you about it. Have some honest-to-God debate.
But that's what they do. And again, you have, because of the both-siderism aspect of it, a lot of them, you know, go, well, maybe it is too soon to talk about it. No, it isn't. And if you have to wait a month, well, now these things happen more than, you know, once a month. So there is no good time using their warped sense of what's a good time. The good
there
time to
was,
talk about it is every
time.
There
are shootings every day.
That's right.
Every single day there are mass shootings that don't get people's attention.
Like I said, if the number's not big enough, do you believe Columbine is now not even one of the top 10 worst mass shootings in America?
Yeah, that's what happens. And they escalate and escalate because the next person wants to outdo the last person.
Yep.
But it's never, ever. Was it too late to talk about a terrorist attack immediately? I mean, you get Trump on Twitter accusing ISIS of terrorist attacks before it's even been investigated whether something was a terrorist attack or just not just, but, you know, or a mass shooting or a truck going through a crowd, whatever. You know, when Charlottesville truck guy rammed
mm-hmm.
into a crowd,
mm-hmm.
Trump jumped in. Did he jump in and say it was too soon, or did he start saying how proud he was of Nazis?
Well, he said how proud he was. Well, there are good people on both sides. Very fine people on both sides was, I think, what he said.
Right.
Now, it's only too soon if it's a white shooter.
Right.
If it was a brown or Muslim person.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Then he would have been all over it, you know, saying, let's send him to Gitmo.
And also he'd add to his Muslim ban. Let's add another nation, because maybe this brown person with a gun looks like somebody who's brown across the world. Let's add another nation to
that's
the
right.
Muslim ban.
Yep.
I mean, that's never too soon. We've got to protect our Americans, right? But if we have shootings every single day, that's too early. He is the most disgusting excuse of a – I don't even want to call him a president. You can't honor him with that. He's – I don't know what you want to call him.
A person
in the White House.
He's an imposter.
Yeah, he is. He's disgusting.
He really is. Meanwhile, you know, if you look back through history, you think it's like, oh, it's like a return to the wild, wild west. I forget who it was who said this, mm-hmm. who told me this. It might have been Cliff Schechter, actually. Back in the days of the wild, wild west, you couldn't, when you rode into a new town, you had to check your guns. You couldn't just walk around with guns.
Yes.
So
that's right.
Right. This is not like the wild, wild west. Back then, things were a lot more civilized than they are now.
Right. It may have been prevalent, but it wasn't as free for all.
Right.
You know, I know this is off topic because we're going to get back into the shootings, because almost my whole tweet spot is devoted to the shooting tweets.
Right.
But I wanted to, because we were talking about Trump just now, it reminded me that I wanted to just bring this up. I went to Hamilton the other night, saw Hamilton, and it was really, really good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But what struck me was how, and I, again, this is a representation in a musical, but it was representing something, and that something that struck me was how devoted and proud and dedicated these patriots were, our founding fathers were, so dedicated that their families suffered because they were more willing to do their job and figure things out in government and go to war to defend the right things and all of that than to just make it a – there was a lot of politics involved too. But I'm comparing that to Trump is what I'm getting at. I'm comparing the attitude that carried us through, you know, so many years until recently. And it's become this – moron in the White House.
Today, being a patriot means that you, I hate to say it, but I'm not saying this is true, but in their eyes, means you become one of them, one of the, a term that you and I hate, the alt-right, a racist, bigoted, anti-democratic, small-d democratic person. You have to be in favor of almost fascism. That's what to them patriotism is these days.
Right. It was when, like, the Tea Party started with the Eagles and you had to wear the three-cornered hats and tea bags hanging from them and everything. It became a devotion to an ideology, however mm-hmm. you say it, as opposed to what can really make this country improved and civilized and make sense of things and make things better.
And even then, when there was going to be a gunfight, it was a duel. It was done under controlled circumstances. You know, it wasn't just someone gets pissed off and pulls out a gun and kills. No, right. There was an organized duel.
That is exactly right. That was the other thing. It was a thought out. I mean, what went into those duels? There was a whole song devoted to the 10 steps that lead up mm-hmm. to a duel, or the 9 steps that lead up to a duel. And the reason this one or that one would get killed is because somebody would draw their gun and shoot before it was polite, you know, to do that. there were rules. There was mutual respect, even if you were going to kill somebody.
Yep.
Now you get, you know, Rand Paul fighting with his neighbor, getting his lung punctured and 5 ribs broken over some landscaping issue or something.
Is that what there's, think it is now?
That's what I keep seeing. Yeah. That they were fighting over some, as they said, like a trivial issue. It was about leaves being blown into each other's yards or something. God. I don't even know. But anyway, it was just, and I realize, you know, 200 years ago versus today, blah, blah, blah. But there should be some norms and some rules and some respect that we maintain. And that's what we're trying to fight for. But Trump comes in there and everything's just out the window. So let's do Tweet Spot and cheer us up with gun stuff.
Let's. Here we go.
Welcome to my Tweet
Spot. All right, so what'd you find on the Twitters?
Oh, there was so much about guns. I only have a few from today that I can go to later, but the main crux of it is guns, guns, guns. Politicus USA, this was actually a blog post of theirs, but they tweeted it. Moron president humiliates America by admitting he didn't know there were so many countries. This is not a gun.
No, that's not a gun thing. I put that in. In What's News? How? What an idiotic, moronic thing to say. I mean, that's something that maybe you'd admit in quiet to, you know, your best friends, you know, when you're not afraid of looking really stupid. But he said this on the international stage in Japan.
Right.
I never knew we had so many countries.
What do you, has he ever seen a globe?
I guess not. He obviously wasn't a very good student. I mean, how do you not know how many nations there are in the world? Look at a map. Hello.
Yeah. Just get an idea.
Idiot.
You know, they have cartoons about it. Maybe you can watch cartoons.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we're getting into it. Michael Skolnick, who's a film producer, news commentator, civil rights activist, he said one shoe bomber tried to blow up a plane and now we take off our shoes. 1,520 mass shootings since Sandy Hook and Congress has done nothing.
Wow.
Think about that. I mean, that's what we were saying, basically, is that if there's a terrorist attack, or that we think maybe there was a terrorist attack, everybody jumps into action and does things that may not even be constitutional, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you have someone blow a bunch of kids' heads off at Sandy Hook, you know, we don't want to take our guns away. If only the kids had guns, they could have shot them.
Yeah, right.
All right. Ted Cruz tweeted, keeping all harmed in Sutherland Springs in our prayers and grateful for our brave first responders on the scene. And Ricky Davila, who is that how you say it?
I guess.
Davila? Singer-songwriter replied, you protect the NRA because they pay you. You promote guns in our streets. You allow the mentally ill to purchase guns. Shove your prayers.
Amen.
You said it. I'm so sick of thoughts and prayers. It's like one word now. It's like you spell it all together, thoughts and prayers.
Right. Sorry, you can think and you can pray all you want. Those people were in church. They were praying.
They were in church. Exactly. Exactly. I heard you say that earlier, and you were exactly right. They were talking to their God, and they were shot to death. So you know what? Jenny, I hope that's how she says her name.
Or Zenny.
I love her from Boing Boing.
Uh-huh.
She said, Ainsley Earhart, Fox News host, said, church is the best place to be shot because you're closer to Jesus at time of death.
I have this clip, actually.
Oh, good.
She's the newest blonde on Fox and Fiends in the morning. I really haven't spent much time watching it, but I saw this clip and I clicked on it and couldn't believe what I was hearing. Here's what she
said. We've been reporting this shouldn't happen in a church, but I was downstairs talking with some people that work here that we all talk about our faith and we share the same beliefs. We were saying there's no other place we would want to go in that other than church, because I'm there asking for forgiveness. I feel very close to Christ when I'm there. So I'm trying to look at some positives here and know that those people are with the Lord now and experiencing eternity and no more suffering, no more sadness anymore.
I don't even know what to say to that. No more suffering, no more sadness anymore?
No, just, you know, every single other person in their lives is crying, but no sadness anymore for them. Because and eternity, if it was really eternity, they'd be sad for the rest of their lives knowing who they left behind. But okay. And that their heads were blown off. But no, it's okay. Eternity.
And think about that at work. This is what they do at Fox. That's not what I've heard. Just saying. Fox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Mitch McConnell was asked what the Senate could do after shootings. And he said, quote, "It's hard to envision a foolproof way to prevent individual outrages by evil people." And so Sam Stein of the Daily Beast said, "Were a politician to utter this in response to an act of Islamic terrorism, they'd be crushed politically." To which I said he should be crushed politically anyway, but that's not the point.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just, you know, well, you know, it's hard to envision a way. I mean, how can we start, you know, never mind.
But it's true. I mean, they've somehow given themselves a free pass when it comes to gun deaths by mass shooting in this country. That's the new way of life, and that's just something we have to accept. Yet, if it was a person of color, if it was a Muslim, forget it. If it was an immigrant, forget it. Then that's not okay. But if it's a white person who usually does these mass shootings, then that's something we just sort of have to accept, knowing that it's going to happen. So we should all arm ourselves.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. If there's no one answer, so then we shouldn't ban guns, or we shouldn't have more rules, or we shouldn't whatever. There's also no one answer to terrorism. So they can't, I mean, they do, but they shouldn't be using the same argument. I mean, you know, they're saying in effect, well, see, if you do this, then there will be no more. In fact, there was a quote from Trump that said when he was in Japan, that we're going to end terrorism. I wish I kept that quote. And I remember saying, wait, you're going to do what? You're going to stop what? You can't. Nobody can.
Mm-hmm.
But they're saying, you know, so there's no answer to anything in life. There's no answer. There's no one solution. There's always, like, you know, like I always use it. Well, then why don't you take away stop signs? People are going to run them anyway. So why bother having any traffic laws?
Yeah.
But they help. And if you can save a person, it would be nice to try to do that.
Right. Here, I've got one from Randy Bryce, you know, Iron Stash, who's running against Paul Ryan in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
He tweeted out, "Speaker Ryan says that prayers work. I have a suggestion. Return at NRA money and pray for campaign cash so you can do something to help us."
Ah, love it. Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yay for him. Lise Powers of Media Matters, or Liz, I don't know how you say her name. She has a little quote from Texas Governor Greg Abbott. It's what you played.
No,
we
go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. So it's not. Okay. We think recent tragedies are something.
Here, you know what? I have the clip. Let me play it
good,
for you.
Good. Because I can't read what
okay.
I've typed
here. What I had read was from the Attorney General of Texas. That was what was in the clip I played in
What's
right. News.
Yeah.
This is the governor of Texas.
Right.
Just remember that. This is Greg Abbott.
Putting this in context, and remember, even though we're facing these severe tragedies, whether it be what happened in Sutherland Springs or what happened in Las Vegas or what happened in New York last week or what happened in London early this year, we have acts of evil taking place. And because they are close in time to us right now, we think this is something heavy right now. But put this in the context of history. Look at what happened with Hitler during the horrific events during that era, and Mussolini, and go back in time before that to the earlier ages, the Middle Ages, when people committed horrific crimes.
So if you think this is bad, well, what about Hitler?
Just relax, because Hitler and Mussolini were worse.
They were so much worse. Right. Think about that for a change. Unbelievable.
And the RN men right now. I could not figure out what that was as I was reading it.
And here's the other one I was looking for. I found from somebody named Francis Maxwell, who is just somebody on Twitter. Question, conservatives, if you think gun laws won't stop criminals getting guns, why do you want a wall? Won't criminals still find a way?
There you go. See, yep. That's exactly what I was getting at a second ago.
Yep.
There is no one answer to anything. So, yes, we can try this. We can try that. Then if you're going to just, you know, if you're going to throw things out to try, then don't stop us from trying to stop mass shootings and other shootings. Let us try. Just
right.
Like if you want to try the wall, let us try some good laws.
Exactly. But they're so afraid of the NRA. That's their whole thing.
Yeah, well, of course.
And again, if you look at any public polling, you'll see that the majority of Americans are in favor of common sense gun control laws.
As they were after Sandy Hook. There was a 91% yes on stricter gun laws back then. And I remember Obama getting up there and saying that. And I'm going, yeah, you know, and it didn't matter. And it's not, it is definitely the gun industry and the NRA putting money in the pockets of politicians. But when Trump says some of the things he said in your quotes that you played, it's also because he's catering to his base.
Oh, of course.
You know, so there's a couple of things going, but definitely, yeah, the money in their pockets. David Atkins, our friend, he writes for the Washington Monthly and a bunch of other publications. He said, replace the word gun with grenade or rocket launcher and see how dumb the good guy with the gun argument sounds.
Mm-hmm.
That was really smart.
Yep.
Sometimes when you do that, when you just put something in a slightly different context, it shows how stupid. It's like, who was the, somebody tweeted, if you substitute the word stabbing for rape when women talk about it, well, I only stabbed her a couple of times. It really wasn't that, you know, she said, okay, but it was just a couple of stabbings. It wasn't, you know, major stab. When you start substituting words for other words, all of a sudden
you realize how ridiculous it sounds.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So Steve Marmel, however you say his name, because I'm bad at names. He's a TV writer, producer. He said something along the same vein there. If 26 people die before a good guy with a gun has a chance, those are pretty terrible metrics. You sure that's the narrative you want?
Really?
And Buffy's blog, just a friend of mine on Twitter, she said back, although plenty of Second Amendment extremists are former military, they're all amazingly clueless about the tactical advantage of surprise. Mm. You know, people forget about this. There was a show on ABC, one of their news type shows. I've forgotten which one it was. And they were talking, they did an experiment where they simulated a spontaneous gun shooting, you know, mass shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to train people to use a gun. But the element of surprise overwhelmed by far their ability to react, even though they knew how to use a gun.
Right. Even though they were trained in these things, they still, you're taken so off guard that your
exactly.
reaction time is off and your judgment is off. You know, they were saying, where was it? In the Walmart. Remember a few days ago, there was a shooting in a Walmart, I want to say in Colorado. Again, I can't remember. I think it was in Colorado. And people started pulling out their own guns. And it thwarted the police work when the cops came in because they didn't know, you know, who was a good guy and who was a bad guy. It really screwed them up.
It took an extra 5 hours.
That's right.
And that's exactly right. It reduces your ability to react. You're taken by surprise, your judgments. And also, if you're in a dark room like a theater, you can't even see who you're shooting at. So the police can't see if they're coming in to find the shooter. And
yep.
if they see you with a gun and it's dark,
yep.
and, you know, even if you're some, you know, kind of a young woman who would never be the shooter, you know, that kind of thing where you're thinking, oh, that wouldn't, you don't know who you're shooting at.
That's
you
right.
see a gun pointed at you or shooting at somebody.
Right, any gun. You see the gun,
yeah.
you shoot back.
Right. And the guy who did shoot at the shooter, this most recent one, said he was scared to death. Now, luckily, he didn't shoot anybody who shouldn't have been shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he actually shot this guy. And that didn't stop anyone else from getting shot, though.
No, he was on his way out of the church at that point, wasn't he?
Right. I thought so, too. They chased him in a truck. Well, maybe not. No. Yeah, he may have been running out of the church. I don't know the details of his shooting him. I do know the details of him chasing him, where he got somebody with a truck to, you know, drive, and they chased the guy.
Right.
And then he killed himself.
Right.
But he had already been shot. So
yes.
I'm thinking, I don't know if it was when he was running out or what. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Somebody will have to tell us that. David Frum said, gun advocates insist only prayer can mitigate human evil. Policy is futile, except in every other advanced democracy where it works.
Exactly. Well, just
which
like,
is what you talked about.
Exactly. Like in Australia, after the Port Arthur massacre, they said, this is insane. We are not going to let this happen again. And they did a huge gun buyback program. And there hasn't been another mass shooting since. Sure, there have been, you know, isolated incidents and murders and occasional shootings, but no mass shootings of more than, what, three people since.
Right. I mean, there is always going to be crime. And I want to also stress what you said about carrying guns over state borders, over state lines, where you may have great gun laws in Illinois. You've got guns coming in from neighboring states, and so you can't control that much. You
exactly.
can only control your own state.
That's what it is. In Chicago, Trump loves to talk about Chicago. It doesn't matter that they have the strictest gun control laws because all the states surrounding it don't. And there's no border that you have to cross where you're, you know, you get searched to make sure you're not bringing guns in when you drive across the state lines. So you come in from Indiana, you could have a car filled with guns.
Right. Oh, and speaking of controlling people coming in, I was really surprised yesterday. I shouldn't have been, but I hadn't been to the Pantages Theater where we saw Hamilton in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked up and I was waiting because my kids came too, and we were waiting for them to come. And I look over and they had strict, they had a sign. I even tweeted a sign saying, here's what's not allowed in the theater. It was pretty funny, actually. It was like, you know, containers with this and your own drinks and weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had a line you had to go through where
good.
They check you out.
Good.
If you had any kind of container or purse, they, you know, I didn't
they
have anything
it.
With me,
right.
but they made you show them what you had in there, really being careful. And I hadn't ever been through this before except at the airport.
Oh, no, that's a thing now.
Anytime
you go to a concert, you go to a show. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a while. So I was pleasantly surprised that they were doing that because it was on my mind. The other thing I saw that I took a picture of and sent out to Twitter that night was Our Revolution people were pushing for Medicare for All, and they had three-cornered hats on, and they were handing out literature, and there was a ton of them, and people were reacting very positively. So that was kind of cool.
Good for them.
Yeah. Anywho, okay, so this is not a gun one, I don't think. After Trump tweeted about Tom Steyer's impeachment ads, CNN's Brian Stelter tweeted, Fox News confirms, quote, due to the strong negative reaction to their ad by our viewers, we could not in good conscience take their money.
Right.
So they stopped the anti-Trump ads. Even though he said they broke their contract, they still did it.
Uh-huh.
So that's that. You know, let's disciple. So then Iceman NYR replied, this is the same place that in good conscience let Hannity have sexual harasser Bill O'Reilly back on their network and plan to do it again.
Yeah, why not? Because the Fox viewers don't react negatively to that.
No, that's okay.
Right.
We're okay with that.
Yep.
Stephanie Rule blames mental illness but signed bill allowing the mentally ill to buy guns and supported health care reform that didn't cover mental health. She's talking about
mm-hmm.
Trump. So there you go. I mean, you know, he does everything he can to sabotage everything that we need.
Yes. Right.
Amazing.
Yep.
Millennial Politics, which is an activist group, quote, laws won't stop criminals, says person who advocates stricter immigration laws after terrorist attacks and abortion laws to curb abortion.
Right. But so then why have the laws?
Right. Exactly. But
right.
he's doing it. He wants, you know, his Muslim ban, and he wants abortion laws, and he wants to close down all abortion clinics, and, you know, but the laws don't work. So I guess people should just do what they want anyway.
Right. What was that movie, The Purge or something, where they suspend all the laws for a day or whatever?
Oh,
yeah.
I don't know that one.
Yeah. Well, the Republicans feel this way when it benefits, when it helps back up their arguments.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. They're the biggest hypocrites on earth is a Republican, especially an extreme right winger. John Cooper, who used to work for Obama and for Biden, he said, "I'd rather see some children die than do anything to jeopardize my Second Amendment rights," quote, head of my local NRA affiliate some years ago.
Wow. See, and that's the problem. And you know, it wasn't that long ago, when you think back on it, it was a different interpretation of the Second Amendment. It was only, oh, damn it. Now I lost the name of the decision, completely brain fart here, on the latest iteration of the Second Amendment, the latest interpretation of the Second Amendment that says this meaning, you know, because before that, the interpretations were of a militia, you know,
right.
a well regulated militia meant something. On this latest interpretation of it, it's like the words a well regulated militia don't even appear in there.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's completely off topic almost. You know, it's ridiculous. Anyway, Dogger 55, who's a follower, he said, "Witness saw gunman approach church with his AR-15. Thanks to NRA and GOP gun laws, that didn't merit a call to police or even suspicion."
That's interesting.
So, I mean, freedom literally backfired on that.
Yeah. You know, I did see someone interviewed who said he saw something, or maybe he heard, you know, heard some shots, and he got his wife and kid and they, you know, went and hid in a closet in the house. He didn't say anything about calling the cops. I hope he did, you know, called on the way to the closet.
Yeah. You know, it's hard. I wonder if you're even thinking at that point. You know, you're in survival mode, and then all of a sudden you go, shoot, I should have called the cops. Anyway, I have a couple more just coming up that are not gun related. Oh, wait, one is Lawrence Tribe, the lawyer. He's so wonderful. Don't quit. I don't know who this is. John Silsby. I think he's just a person on Twitter. He tweeted, "The AR-15 sold to civilians is not a military grade. It's a semi-automatic rifle. That's it. Stop spreading misinformation." And so Lawrence Tribe says, "Don't quibble. A gun capable of killing dozens of people in under a minute has no legitimate use other than for war."
No kidding.
That was exactly the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, all right, now unrelated.
Okay.
Newsweek is reporting that Lara Trump...
Oh, I saw this.
Yep. ...has been hosting high-level meetings within the White House to push a variety of domestic initiatives.
What the?
She's taking on White House duties in a troubling and unprecedented move, officials say. And it's this is crazy. I mean, it's bad enough we have Ivanka in there, but to have Lara, who she was the lost, you know, one of the lost relatives we don't hear much about.
And, well, she's married to one of the sons, right?
Yeah,
and
right.
Wasn't she? She was doing the fake Trump news on Facebook.
Yeah.
And didn't she just have a baby too, or is that the other one?
Oh, I don't know. That's
I
a
don't
good
know
question.
Either. I don't know who's married to who and what. You know, one of them had a baby not too long ago.
But anyway, so now she's, you know, getting her say in the White House. I mean, I've got two more, so I'm going to jump to them.
Okay.
Donald J. Trump, looking at his tweet, it always cracks me up that he feels it's necessary to put the J in there. But okay. He said, "Ralph Northam will allow crime to be rampant in Virginia. He's weak on crime, weak on our great vets, anti-Second Amendment." And Chris Hayes answers, your campaign manager was just indicted.
Right. I got one from Donald Trump Jr., who two of them today that both basically said the same thing. This one, "Virginia, the future of the Commonwealth is at stake tomorrow. Find your polling place at vote.gop to vote for Ed for VA.gov. He tweeted that today, thinking, I guess, that because last year, Election Day was on November 8th, that it must be that this year as well.
He's really stupid. But then he also tweeted out, "Virginia, the future of the Commonwealth is at stake. Get out and vote Toady."
Oh.
T-O-D-Y. Uh-huh. He wants you to vote Toady.
That was after he found out that he was, that he had the day wrong all along.
Right, but then he couldn't get it spelled.
Then he had a typo.
I called him an acist because he didn't have the A. He's discriminating against A's. Oh. So he's an acist.
Okay.
That's my joke of the day. You have to laugh harder.
Gotcha. And Samantha B. at Full Frontal, yeah. Sam B. tweeted, if you're sick of feeling helpless, remember to vote today. It's kind of like tweeting if tweets had the power to enact real change.
Oh, that was wonderful.
I figure that we was a good her. Way to, you know, kind of wrap things up. Samantha B. is very good. Hi, and with that, we're done for the day.
You certainly are.
I don't know what else to say. I'm so disgusted by all this, and I'm afraid to turn on the news. So hopefully...
I know, me too. Every day when I wake up, I'm dreading looking at my phone because I get all the alerts, and ugh, you just get hit between the eyes.
All right. Gotta Laugh. Find her on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh, GOTTALAFF. I'm on the Twitters too, by the way, at Nicole Sandler. You can also find Laffy at Laffy'sPlace.com, at NicoleSandler.com. And
that's right.
That's it. I'll see you later.
Okay, I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Tomorrow, our old friend Richard R.J. Esko will be here to talk about the problems in the Democratic Party. As foobar as the Democratic Party may be, it's still our best bet because the alternative is even worse. So we'll do that tomorrow with Richard Esko. Thanks for listening, everyone. I'll see you then at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.